The first scripture today is Acts 16, 9 through 15, the New International Version. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Thrace, we put out to the sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of the district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gates to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us.
We have a couple more readings from the book of John today. The first is John chapter 14, verses 15 through 29. "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I am going away, and I am coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so when it does, you will believe." And our second reading from John today is chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. A man left work on Friday afternoon. Instead of going home as usual, he stayed out the entire weekend hunting with the boys and spending his entire paycheck. When he finally came home, he was confronted by his angry wife and was yelled at for over an hour because of his actions. Finally, his wife stopped nagging and simply asked, "How would you like it if you didn't see me for 2 or 3 days?" To this he replied, "That would be fine with me." Monday went by and he didn't see his wife. Tuesday and Wednesday came and went with the same results. Finally, on Thursday, the swelling went down just enough that he could see her a little bit out of the corner of his left eye. As usual, our scripture passages today cover lots of topics, but I'm struck with how important each of these passages makes seeing to believing. Of course, Paul didn't actually see a man from Macedonia standing and begging that he come to Macedonia, but the vision was apparently strong enough and vivid enough that Paul took action based upon it. He got ready to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called him to preach the gospel there. In John 14, 28 through 29, Jesus acknowledges his followers' need to see to believe. He says, "You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so then when it does happen, you will believe." He recognizes that he has to prepare them for what will happen, or they may not believe what they are seeing. Of course, the story of Thomas doubting until he could actually see the risen Jesus and place his fingers in the nail holes is a well-known story, and again illustrates our human need to see in order to believe. And as I'm sure you know, Missouri is the show-me state. Every once in a while, when I'm having trouble believing what I'm being told, I say, "Today I'm from Missouri. You'll have to show me." Or you may have heard some people say, "I'll believe it when I see it." And there are some people that come to believe in God and Christ after they have seen a miracle. Many people these days don't necessarily believe that there are miracles, but I think they do occur if one is looking for them. As many of you know, I conducted worship services at West Park Village for a number of years. Barbara, a resident at West Park Village, had us praying for her nephew, Luke, from the time he was born until he was about 2 years old. And actually, we prayed for Luke well beyond that. But when Luke was born, the doctors told his parents that it would take a miracle for Luke to live. However, 2 years later, Luke was thriving. It was miracle enough that Luke's parents, who had been non-believers, became believers. For them, seeing was believing. And while I can tell you this was a miracle, perhaps you don't believe it because you didn't see it. Well, I didn't see it firsthand either, but I believe it because Barbara frequently told us about it and we had prayed about it. Had not Barbara pointed it out to me, I would never have known about this miracle. You may have heard the phrase, "There are none so blind as those who will not see." Well, this saying is attributed to a fellow named John Hayward back in 1546. It may have had its origins in Jeremiah 5:21, which says, "Hear this, you foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear." Perhaps we can agree that in order to see, we have to be looking. There are many around us every day that remark on coincidences. Annette prefers to call some of these apparent coincidences God incidences. Sometimes it depends upon your point of view as to whether something is a coincidence or a God incidence. Consider the young woman on her way to an important job interview. She's running a little late and is having trouble finding a parking spot near the building where her job interview is to take place. As she circles the block, she prays fervently, "God, please help me find a parking space so I can be on time for my job interview." As she comes around the corner, a car pulls away from the curb right in front of the building where her interview is to take place. The woman says, "Never mind, God, there's one now." So is that a coincidence or a God incidence? You can make the call on that one. Or how about the guy standing on his roof as the floodwaters rise around his house? A boat comes by and the driver says, "Hop in and I'll take you to safety." "Nope," the guy on the house says, "God will save me." The water continues to rise, and soon the guy is halfway up the roof when a fellow in a canoe sails up. The canoeist says, "I'm the last boat. Climb on in, and I'll take you to safety." Again, our guy on the roof says, "Nope, God will save me." The water continues to rise, and now our guy is standing on the very rooftop of his house. A helicopter flies up, drops a rope, and a fellow in the helicopter with a bullhorn yells down, "Grab the rope, and we'll take you to safety." Once again, our friend on the roof yells back, "No thanks, God will save me." Well, the water continues to rise, and the guy from the roof drowns. He does make it to heaven, and when he meets God, he asks, "Why did you let me drown when I had so much faith that you would save me?" God answers, "I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What more did you want?" In both of these cases, the gal looking for a parking spot and the gentleman on the roof, the individuals were not looking for God's answer or were looking for a different answer than they received. So what about answers to our prayers? I'm guessing that it's pretty easy to see the answer to prayer when it's the answer we wanted. But are we able to see the answers to prayer that are not what we thought it should be or wanted it to be? There's even a song by Garth Brooks about it called "Unanswered Prayers," which says some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Now, Ben had told me that he would play this song on his guitar and sing in Garth Brooks' voice, but he's informed me this morning that his voice just isn't up to par, so he's going to have Garth Brooks do it for us.
Just the other night at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into my old high school flame. And as I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the way things used to be. She was the one that I'd wanted for all times, and each night I'd spend praying that God would make her mine. And if he'd only grant me this wish I wished back then, I'd never ask for anything again. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. 'Cause some of God's greatest gifts unanswered prayer. She wasn't quite the angel that I remembered in my dreams, and I could tell the time changed me. In her eyes too it seemed. We tried to talk about the old days. There wasn't much we could recall. I guess the Lord knows what he's doing after all. And as she walked away, well, I looked at my wife, and then and there I thanked the good Lord for the gifts in my life. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, and just because he may not answer doesn't mean he don't care. Unanswered. Some of God's greatest gifts are all too often unanswered. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayer.
Now, as great a theologian as Garth Brooks may be, I disagree with him. Some of God's greatest gifts are answered prayers. And in this case, the answer to prayer was no. Garth may not have been looking for the actual answer he received, or as in the case of the guy on the roof, the answer that he anticipated. Consider again our young job seeker praying for a parking space. Fortunately, she thinks, one opened up for her. But what if it hadn't, and she missed her job interview? Might one conclude that perhaps she wasn't supposed to have that job, and that God's answer to her prayer was not providing a parking spot so she would not get the job? Some would suggest that we turn the phrase, seeing is believing, around and approach it from the other side, from the standpoint of believe it, and you will see. And perhaps this is just another way of indicating that one must be looking in order to actually see what is happening. That is, to see God in our lives, we have to be looking. There are also those who would take this one step further. They would be those, as in the movie Field of Dreams, that say, build it and they will come, which would be another indication of faith. Believing is easy when we can see what it is that we are asked to believe. But what about when we don't or can't see what we are asked to believe? Mark Twain is quoted as having said, "Faith is believing what you know ain't so." While old Mark is pretty succinct in his assessment of faith, it does seem that he's an advocate for believing. Once one believes what logically ain't so, one can begin to look for ways in which what we believe tis to so. If one doesn't believe in the first place, there's absolutely no need to look for reasons that something might be true. Jesus tells us that we'll have help in sorting all this out. In John 14:16 through 17, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." And in verse 26, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." While you can apparently find lists of things that the Holy Spirit does for us, the internet told me so, and while I haven't read those lists, I think that one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is help us to see Jesus and God in our world, in our lives today. He helps us by reinforcing what Jesus has shown in his teachings and in his life. Of course, we have to be receptive to the Holy Spirit, and we have to be watching for God in our lives and in the other life and in the lives of others. So how about you? Do you see God in your life and in the lives of others around you? Are you looking? Can other people see God in your life and Jesus in you? And when they do, will they want to have what you have? God loved us enough that he gave us the Holy Spirit to help us see him in the world around us and to help us live our lives so others can see Jesus in us. Thanks be to God.